welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and go forward in the message this morning in the Word, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. Talks about our salvation, how we all got to be here this morning. He says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast." New Living says, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it." As we look at this passage of Scripture, and it's such a great passage of Scripture to keep coming back to as believers, to just realize where we came from. We came from the grace of God. God generously, we think of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," we're singing about it, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have that gift of everlasting life." Now, as we take a look at this passage of Scripture, I just want to do something with it a little bit. I just want to put it under the microscope and take a look at a few words. You can see they're highlighted in yellow there. The word grace, the word faith, the word gift, and the word works, okay? Now, you'll notice that these are different words, and they mean different things. Each of them play a different part in our salvation as we read this. "For by grace you've been saved through faith." In other words, grace is the thing that saved us. Jesus coming to this earth, living the sinless, perfect life, and then offering himself as a sacrifice on that cross for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that his precious blood atoned for all the sin of all mankind. That was the work of grace that Jesus Christ did that we couldn't do. But that work he did, that grace, that act that of grace that Jesus did on our behalf, he loved us, gave himself for us, is available to us through faith, okay? But it's not of myself. In other words, I can call upon the name of the Lord. That's my faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's my faith. It's an act of faith. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have that gift of God, which is eternal life. So, as I realize as a believer now, I am saved. But my salvation is totally a gift. All I did was believe. But here's an important distinction. My faith is not a work. My faith is an act of faith in a category that's distinct from the category of works. In other words, God told me to believe on him. I call upon his name. All that is an act of faith. If my exercising of faith was a work, then my salvation would be a paycheck for my work of faith, and God would owe it to me. My salvation is not a paycheck. It's a gift. It's extended to me as a gift. Does my faith play a part? Yeah. But not a part that I can boast about. There's no boasting. Even in my act of faith, I believed. That's great. And I received salvation. But there's still no boast. When it's of works, there is an obligation. When it's works, there is a paycheck. When it's works, you can boast. But when it's by faith, there is no paycheck. There is no boasting. It's grace. And so I realize it. I'm saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. It's not of works. Now, I want to lay that foundation in the subject of salvation because we understand that. So when we're talking about salvation, I don't take any credit for that. You could put it this way, and this is kind of what I want to get at this morning here. The title of the message this morning is this: an attitude of grace. An attitude of grace. What is grace? The technical definition, some of you Bible students might know this or people who have studied, it's unmerited favor. That's why it's a gift. If it was merited, it wouldn't be a gift. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a gift that's received. It's received with an attitude of faith. In other words, this gentleman in the picture, he's not receiving this as a transaction of wages for something he did. It's wrapped specifically, so you can see that it's a gift. It's something that is given to somebody, and they are receiving it as a gift. They're receiving it as unmerited favor. When you receive something as a gift, when you receive it as unmerited favor, there's an attitude of grace. There's an attitude that I'm receiving this because of mercy and grace. This isn't something I've earned. There's a humility in there, isn't it? You can see that picture. There's a humility in the receiving because you know that it's not of me in this case. It's something that is being given to me that I don't deserve. An attitude of grace. An attitude of grace. And let me give you a quick little background. I've been in faith, Word of Faith, for 36 years. Okay? I get it. Have you listened to tapes? I have more. No. I'm just saying. Since 1986, almost 40 hours a day, okay? I get it. I've went through, I've listened, I know the culture, I know the attitude, I know this isn't somebody who's coming from the outside, this is somebody who's inside. But I have found that I've had some issues in my own heart as it relates to an attitude of grace. It's part of the fabric of faith. It's part of the fabric of receiving from God. There's an attitude of grace that keeps our heart in the right place to receive from God. When you think of grace, well, go back to the picture. Grace is what God provides us through His love. Through God's love, His grace extends us stuff, things, unmerited favor. Our faith is simply the hand that receives what God's grace has provided. Can this guy boast about anything? No. This is a picture of somebody with zero boasting, but yet somebody who's receiving. Let's get into it a little bit. God's grace is a handout, and we are charity cases. God's grace is a handout, and we are charity cases. We're talking about an attitude of grace now. And this is precisely why many people will not receive the free gift of salvation. You want a handout? Yes. Are you a charity case? Yes. You have to humble yourself for a handout to recognize yourself. I'm a charity case. I can't save myself. The word charity is the old English word for love. You're a love case. I need God's love. I can't do this on my own. I'm a charity case. I need His love. I need His grace. Oh, back up. My faith is going to receive what His grace provides, but I need Him. And as we're talking about grace is a handout, we are charity cases. There's an attitude of grace that I've just been stirred up in my believing and receiving, in my faith, in my standing on the word that God is bringing me back to. You know, at Christmas time, we kind of give ourselves permission to receive and exchange gifts. You know, it's the time of the year. So we usually don't have a problem with it then. But when you receive a gift, man, it's not Christmas time, just give something. You know, can you receive a gift? Can you receive that? What I want to bring out this morning is when we receive anything from God, as believers, we still receive by grace through faith. Let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have, he's talking about us believers, Christians, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are still having to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find unmerited favor to help us in time of need. This is important because in our heart, God wants us to maintain an attitude of grace. Your salvation was a handout. It was given to you freely. Like in Romans, the Apostle Paul said, having not spared his own son for us, offered up his own son for us, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? In other words, we understand I'm saved by grace through faith. Yeah, I had an act of faith that received that grace of God. But it's not a work on my part. It's not a paycheck. It was just an act of faith, and I acted that faith with an attitude of grace and appreciation for what God has freely provided. All right, now maybe I'll just tell off on me. And attitudes that we can slip into sometimes. We understand that. We're saved by grace through faith. But have you ever had a situation where you're believing God for something, you're standing in faith for something, you're seeing something, and it's not happening? And you're getting frustrated. I'm just telling on me. Angry. Bless God. I did what you told me to do. Let's take a look at a scripture here. Well, look at one more. I did what you told me to do. I did my act of faith. I did my work. Where are my wages? Faith is not a work. And grace never is our wages. Faith is always an act in accordance to the word, but it never becomes a work. Faith is always faith. Works are works, but grace is always grace. And there's a distinction. I'm just saying, when you can come into a faith movement or a word of faith movement, you can get where you begin to combine those two unconsciously. And there's an attitude. Now, faith is an expectance of things that you've desired. There is an expectancy. But there's an expectancy with an attitude of grace. It's still a gift. I couldn't pay for my salvation, right? And here's where the Apostle Paul kind of goes to attitude. He's talking to the Corinthians. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? We couldn't boast in our faith as it relates to our salvation. We can't boast in our faith as it relates to anything we receive from God, because it's grace. It's unmerited favor. It's all unmerited. In the same way I couldn't buy my salvation, I can't buy a healing. I can't buy wisdom. I can't buy his provision. And yet we see in all these different areas, we see the same paradigm of grace through faith. Let's take the example of what the Word of God says. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Think about this passage of Scripture. It gives us confidence to ask according to the will of God. It's our basis for faith, because God obligates himself to his word. And when I'm doing his word, I know he's faithful to his word, and that's why I have that confidence. I'm asking according to his word. We've got this. We've got the understanding of this, okay? We understand my faith is according to the word of God. But I'm pulling something else in here this morning, and there's something we can't lose sight of this morning. There's an attitude of grace that's in the very fabric of our faith. There's an attitude of grace that we have as it results from believing and receiving from God. In other words, and I hesitated even to use this picture, because sometimes there can be an old religious thing, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but I'm just still an old sinner. No, you were a sinner, but you got saved by grace. While you were a sinner, he loved you. You're not still a sinner. While you were a sinner, he loved you, gave himself for you. Now you're a born-again child of God. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have the life of God on the inside of you. You have his righteousness. You have all these things, all right, that may not look like that picture of that guy, but you do, with all your glory, still have something in common with that guy. You receive with the same attitude of grace. You still recognize, even though you're a child of God, you have all these things in your favor. God is still giving you things. There is still an act of faith, and faith is still faith, and grace is still grace. And there's an attitude of appreciation that we never lose when we're walking by faith. There's an attitude of appreciation and gratitude that we have from God because we realize it's a gift. My faith is not paying for it. My strong faith, that's what got me. No, my faith to receive Christ was just calling upon the name of the Lord. There's no work in it. It's just an act of faith. God does the work through the grace. We can't lose sight of that when it comes to walking by faith. I'm not just saved by grace through faith. I live by grace through faith. I live by that unmerited, generous heart of God who gives me things. Let's take a look at a few examples of this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm just throwing a tell off on me. Have you ever prayed and waited with a peace? Where's the peace? I prayed. Where's the peace? I prayed. I did my part. I'm at the window, Lord. Paycheck of peace. I'm ready for it. There's a heart issue with Christianity. You can't game Christianity. You can't. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And the Lord said that to me once. He said, Ed, I resist the proud no matter how much they know, and I'll give grace to the humble no matter how little they know. Your heart has everything to do with this all working. There's an attitude of grace. God doesn't owe me. I can't buy peace that passes my understanding. I can't do anything that what God would say, wow, okay, you did that. Here you go. Exchange. When it comes to work, there's an exchange of work for wages. But when it comes to faith and grace, it's not an exchange of faith for grace. Faith gives you access to grace, but it's not a wage. It's not paid. You maintain an attitude of grace as you exercise your faith. Praying, casting my cares, however we want to say it, has as much impact in terms of receiving a peace that passes my understanding as calling upon the name of the Lord does to receiving eternal life. Do you understand? It's just an act of faith. I'm not earning anything with God. And when we realize this, and this is where it's been a blessing for me, it takes the pressure off your faith. You stop striving. Did I believe enough? Did I do strong enough? Lord, I did this. I meditated on these words 3 times. I mean, it's almost like a work day. Where is my peace? The attitude is wrong. The heart is wrong. There's pride there. The older son in the prodigal son story would totally understand what you're saying. He'd get it. He'd chime in with you. The younger son, he comes home. He doesn't even finish his prepared remarks. An unmerited favor is just being showered upon him. God's grace is unmerited favor from beginning to end. I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm loved by God. But I don't get a spoiled attitude with a swag and a chip on my shoulder with an entitlement attitude. You never get that. God will resist the proud in every form. When you do it right, there's always going to be humility. Man, the scriptures, with meekness, receive the engrafted word, which can save your soul. It's not just rat-tat. There's a heart. What do we do? It means, Lord, I'm receiving from you. But if it's pure peace, in the same way, my salvation was a handout that my faith simply received. A peace that passes my understanding, that's grace. That's unmerited favor. There's nothing I could ever do to earn that. It's a handout of peace. And I am simply by faith casting my cares, I love that, with thanksgiving, thanking him for all he's done. There's no pressure on my faith here. I'm just taking what he's provided. It is a handout. His peace that passes my understanding is a handout. It's a gift. We receive his blessings on the basis of gift. We receive his blessings on the basis of unmerited favor. It wasn't just unmerited favor when I got saved, and now I'm going to work for God, and he's paying me what he owes me. No. Our heart has to maintain that humility. This is a gift. So when I get that peace that passes my understanding, I'm not saying, well, it's about time. I'm saying, thank you. Thank you. That's a gift. Thank you. There's a heart attitude. There's an attitude of grace. There's an attitude that this is unmerited favor. The same way I received eternal life, I'm receiving a peace that passes understanding. What am I doing? I'm just letting my request be known unto God. I'm talking out of my heart. And God does something with that. That's just my act of faith. It's not a work. There's no boasting. Even when I get a peace that passes my understanding, I can't boast in that. I did what he told me to do. I received a peace that passes my understanding. But there is a praise God in that. But there's no boasting in it. Yeah, I did my faith. No, there's no boasting in it at all. You can get a swag faith mentality attitude that really makes faith and the faith message look bad. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's been preached that way. But it doesn't work that way in real life. There has to be an attitude of grace, an attitude of appreciation, that this is unmerited, that it's a gift. Peace that passes, it's a gift, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your word is true. It works. It works. You promise that your promises are true. You know, it gives you faith in God's grace, but your heart attitude is that it's a gift. I'm receiving it that way. When it comes to wisdom, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver for a person who with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. So when you see that relationship between grace and faith. God gives you his wisdom, and you receive that wisdom by faith. And when you receive that wisdom, you say, thank you, hallelujah, another gift given by my generous, gracious God. Sometimes this is what's missing in our faith. Instead of having an entitlement attitude, and I understand how it's, like I said, I get this. I understand. Faith is a confident expectation. It's true, but that confident expectation is not a heart arrogance. It's not a sense of work. It's a sense of God's word is true. And in the same way he was faithful to save me, he's going to be faithful to give me the wisdom. But his wisdom is a handout. I need your wisdom, Father. I'm a charity case. I'm still a charity case. Child of God, born again. No, you know who you are in Christ? Yes, I know who I am in Christ. And I wasn't just saved by grace through faith. I live by grace through faith. I live with that humble expectation. It's not undermining, not knowing who I am in Christ. But God is God. He is holy. He's righteous. He is who he is. He's our heavenly Father. And it doesn't stop our heart reverence and awe and appreciation and attitude of thankfulness toward him. An attitude of grace is what keeps our heart humble so that we can receive those things. You can have your theology right, but if your heart isn't in the right place, if it's not an appreciation, an expectant appreciation, it can hinder our receiving sometimes. Just an attitude of our heart. A grace handout of healing. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Praise God. There is a grace handout of healing that belongs to us. We can't earn a healing. We can't buy a healing. If you get healed, you're not saying, yeah, bless God, my faith. Well, my faith had a role in receiving what it did, but my faith was not a work. My faith didn't earn it. Remember in the Old Testament, there was a guy named Nahum who had leprosy. He wanted to pay for a healing. He came with all kind of stuff to impress the man of God. The man of God wouldn't even go out to see him. Just said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, that's just faith. God doesn't operate with us in a way that he owes us in that sense. He commands us to walk by faith, to trust him, even receiving healing. Well, if anybody deserves to get healed, that person deserves to get healed. Oh, really? You are saved by grace through faith. You are healed by grace through faith. It is a gift proposition. Grace is a gift. It's an unmerited favor. Faith is a proposition that just receives what God's grace gives. By faith. I'm just receiving it. By faith. My heart attitude is for healing. Lord, I desire healing. And sometimes we can pray, Lord, if I need to pray different, if there's something that I need to do on my faith end, show me. But Father God, I'm just trusting you. And I'm trusting you with a grateful heart, with a thankful heart. I've got an attitude of grace. It's grace through faith. Again, I just want to reiterate this. Faith never becomes works. Okay? Now, Jesus made a reference in the New Testament that the work is to believe. Okay? In that sense, you know, if you're trying to get there by works, the work is to believe. But it's not, faith is not classified as a work that's owed then of debt. He said the effort, the exercise of what you're doing, it's going to be faith. But you are not going to work for a healing. You are going to ask, and the Lord will raise him up through the prayer of faith. That faith is going to receive the raising up. But what am I doing? I believe I receive it as a handout. I receive his mercy as a handout. I receive his peace as a handout. I am a charity case still. As a child of God, I still need his blessings. I still need his grace and favor. I don't have a child of God swag that demands and has a heart attitude. God resists the proud. I don't care what form it takes. I don't care how theologically justified you can do it. If there's an attitude and it leads to anger and frustration and a fist in God's face, you might need to recheck your theology. God doesn't work that way. He's going to bring you back to an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of grace. Lord, thank you. I do confidently expect, but I'm confidently expecting as I'm receiving by faith your grace, your unmerited favor. I don't deserve this, Father God. You are giving it to me as a gift, and I receive it as a gift. It is important to receive from God like that. To understand that, let's take another look at giving. This I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God has a handout of provision. God has a handout of abundance. What do we still have a part to play? Do we have a faith part? Yeah, sowing. Sowing, it's just faith. That sowing is not, I'm not, you know, giving something, God, that's going to pay for what he's given me. There's no comparison. Calling upon the name of the Lord is in no way of some intrinsic value that's going to pay for eternal life. When I sow, I'm just sowing in faith, and I'm receiving abundantly. I'm reaping abundantly because I'm sowing in faith. Sowing and reaping is also not a spiritual works program. And I'm just saying this is where my heart attitude, I'm talking about heart stuff here. We know who we are. We get all that. I can dot I's and cross T's. I can come up here and argue myself too And I could nitpick myself too. I could do that. I could sit right down there and do it. But you got to catch what I'm saying here. This is an attitude of faith. This is an attitude of the heart. I'm sowing by faith. The same faith that I believed on him, I'm sowing. And the same grace that I received eternal life, I'm receiving. He's causing that same grace, that unmerited favor, to abound toward me that I can have all sufficiency in all things. And when I get that, I say, thank you. I don't say, well, you were supposed to pay me 2 weeks ago. My attitude is thank you. I'm receiving by faith with an attitude of grace. Faith never becomes works. Faith is always faith. Grace is always grace. When it comes to this transaction with God, it's not wages for works. It's a different kind of transaction. It keeps your heart right. Wages and works, you have a right to have a certain heart attitude. But faith and grace is completely different. I keep an attitude of appreciation. I'm sowing in faith. Maybe that abundance isn't here today, but I know what does he say? God loves a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or of necessity. What does that really point to, grudging and of necessity? I did this, you owe me, okay, I'll do this, and I'm going to take one for the team, and it's that whole works mentality. Cheerfulness gets to the whole other paradigm. Faith and grace, different paradigm. He says, no, you're just going to sow cheerfully. You know, and is there a relationship there between sowing sparingly and sowing bountifully? Yeah, it's really just the different relationship of how much you're willing on the receiving end to receive. God does it that way. He sets this up, grace and faith, in a way that causes our heart to have to stay humble toward him. And I'm just saying, believing God, there's an attitude of grace. There's an attitude of grace. I don't look like, on the inside, who I am in Christ, I don't look like that guy on the right. But on the inside, as glistening, as shiny as I am, I still have the same heart attitude as that guy on the right. I still have that humility that guy on the right has. I'm still receiving things as a gift as that guy on the right has. We can't lose that. In knowing who we are in Christ. We can't lose that in a word of faith message. We can't lose that attitude of grace, that attitude of appreciation, that attitude that I didn't earn this healing, I didn't earn this peace. I'm walking in these things because my gracious God has also freely with him given me all these other things too by grace through faith. I got to keep that perspective. It's been freeing. It takes pressure off my faith. I'm just being grateful. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've provided for me by grace through faith. When you realize that it is by grace through faith, man, that's awesome. It gives you patience. I mean, you can pray, like I said, Lord, if there's anything I need to be doing on the faith side here, if there's anything you want me to do, show me. I'm asking you for wisdom. But in the meantime, I just thank you. You're faithful with thanksgiving. There's a thanksgiving, there's a believing you receive it. There's a believing, if you're going to believe that you receive it, to have it, if you're going to have the believing that you receive it, you're going to have an attitude of grace. That attitude of grace is what sustains you in the waiting. Praise God, he loves me. The same God who just desired to save me, desires for me to have peace, the healing, the wisdom, the provision. His desire is there. I believe in that. And I'm so thankful, Lord. You want this for me more than I want it. I see that about you. I see that about your heart. There's an attitude of grace that keeps your heart in that place. How do you do that? This is where when you're acting faith and you're standing to receive, in the standing, you maintain that attitude of grace through thanksgiving, through praise, through worship. Through your confession of faith, I thank you, Father God. You are faithful. This is the confidence I have in you. If I ask anything according to your word, I know you hear me, and I know I have the petitions that I've desired from you, Lord. Thank you. I receive everything you have for me, Lord Jesus. You maintain an attitude of gratefulness and gratitude. This is a big part of just receiving by faith. This is part of the confident expectation to see that paradigm. This is grace. It is a handout from God. Do you need a handout? Yes, I do. I'm still that guy in the sense that this isn't something that, what did Jesus say? He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But through me, through my grace, you can do all things. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we receive, we're in a receiving mode. But I'm in a receiving mode with a grateful heart, with a grateful spirit, with a grateful attitude, okay? Just an attitude of grace. Now, we're just going to quickly here, in the last few minutes here, turn this around. Our grace is a handout, and we have charity cases. Our grace is a handout, and we have charity cases. Man, when we have an attitude of grace that's proper, it's going to take the pressure off forgiveness too. Our grace is a handout. We have charity cases. People that we're dealing with. Situations. Let's take a look. As we look at this picture again, you're not just the guy on the right receiving. You're also, when it comes to an attitude of grace, you're also that person that's giving it. That's you. We're not just called to receive by grace through faith, but we're also called to give. We're called to give that grace in the same way that God gives it to us. We give it as an unmerited favor. When you forgive somebody, it's unmerited favor. This is what the scripture clearly tells us. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults, but instead be kind and affectionate to one another as God is gracious. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Be imitators of God in everything you do. Be imitators of God. He's forgiven us. We forgive. In the same way that his love for us was a handout, our love for people is a handout. I couldn't deserve or merit his kindness, and we give our love to people in a way that they can't merit it either. It works the same way. Here's another. This is almost kind of like the same scripture, Jesus saying it in some different words. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Therefore, you shall be perfect, imitators of God. You shall be perfect as just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You shall extend unmerited favor, even as your heavenly Father extends unmerited favor. He didn't say, curse your enemies. He didn't say, get in the weeds of all the different ways that they persecute you and use you. He says, pray for them. What is that? That's grace. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. It's something that I am doing for somebody, even as God has done it for me. It's a gift that I'm giving away. Now, when God gives that gift out, we've got a decision. Many of us have received that. Many of us have received it and are in heaven today. But there are people who reject that. That's their choice. All God's part is to extend it, to make it available for whosoever will. Same with you and your grace. You just extend it. You can't force people to receive your grace any more than God forces us to receive his grace. We just forgive. But you're doing it with an attitude. In other words, I'm forgiving with an attitude of grace. This is a handout. And I'm not telling a person as I'm being kind to them that this is a handout, you understand? But and that they're a charity case. But in the attitude of your heart, you're loving the way God loves. You're loving the way God loves. Here's another kind of saying the same thing again. So you look to God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Passion says, if you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. All right? It's a gift. And in the same way, when I try to receive from God without an attitude of grace, my faith becomes works pretty quick, and I can get frustrated with God because he owes me, and I haven't received my blessing yet. There's an exchange, that work wages exchange. But when I keep faith, grace in the proper perspective, and I'm standing as I'm believing with an attitude of gratitude and appreciation that what do I have that I haven't received from God? I'm not going to boast as though I did something in my own nothing that I've received from God. I maintain that heart attitude. That attitude of grace is what allows me to stand in faith while I'm receiving for what I have from my generous, gracious Heavenly Father. I see His heart toward me, and I appreciate and I worship Him for His heart toward me in that. That same sustaining attitude of grace can also sustain us when we're forgiving people too. In other words, I'm not doing anything for them. My kindness is an unmerited handout, the way God's kindness toward me is an unmerited handout. I'm not waiting for them to straighten up before I show that kindness. It's unmerited. If they had to straighten up, then it's merited. My kindness is merited. But I'm loving as He does. That's why He goes in to say, He said, well, you know that verse 46 and 47, if you love those who love you, well, big deal. Everybody does that. But it's loving those who don't love you. That's grace. That's Godlike. That's being perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So when I realize that, man, God just calls me to love and grace as unmerited favor. I'm not doing it because they deserve it. They don't deserve it. I'm just showing grace. It gets your heart in the right place. Because a lot of times when you are not operating under that, when you kind of get in that works wages mentality, it's like, well, I'm not going to be nice to them because that's going to enable them and they're going to keep doing something bad and wrong. We're talking about being kind. We're talking about praying for, doing good, being merciful, being gracious. In other words, my kindness, again, is not wages for what they've done. It's unconditional love. It's unconditional love. It's a mercy that extends past all that. But what if they do it again? What if you do it again? Will God's grace be there for you if you do it again? You're supposed to forgive even as. 70 times 7. What if they do it again? God addresses these questions, but He doesn't address them in the way our modern psychology addresses them. A lot of times it gets us inward and destructive, and the trajectory of some of that ungodly counsel is horrible. All in the name of justified. It isn't. You know, when I receive forgiveness of sins, why can I receive forgiveness of sins and not have to carry around guilt? Because I know God has forgiven me in Christ. The things that I've been done wrong, there's a justification for what I've done wrong in Christ. He satisfied the injustice of everything that I did wrong. I want justice. That's what the cross is all about, satisfying injustice. That cross satisfied the injustice of everything I've ever done wrong, and that cross satisfied the injustice of everything that's been done wrong to me. That grace works in both directions. That's why we're called to be imitators of God. This is why sin has no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. It doesn't have the dominion of guilt, and it doesn't have the dominion of bitterness. They are both two different forms of dominion that sin tries to get access to the human heart. Whether he gets you through shame and guilt or whether he gets you through the bitterness of somebody else, they're both destructive forces, and grace answers both of them. I'm forgiving even as God in Christ. Why can I extend mercy? I'm not trying to get justice in this situation. I got justice. In the same way God got justice with me in Christ, I got justice with those who sin against me in Christ. That's why I can forgive the way God forgives. My sense of injustice is satisfied in Christ. I give it away as a gift, not because they're being nice to me today, but it's grace. If I can forgive with an attitude of grace, this isn't works again. It's not, we can get into that little game of tit for tat for, I'm doing this and God does this for me, or that same work, I'm doing this, I'm being nice to you because you're being nice to me. Grace completely changes that. Because they say, then walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, you can't fight the flesh. You can't beat the flesh by fighting the flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit. Because that's where the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is that makes you free from the law of sin and death. You beat the flesh indirectly as you walk in the Spirit. And then you get free from the law of sin and death. But you're not taking it on. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. You can't beat bitterness by fighting bitterness. You're going to beat bitterness by walking in love. You're going to forgive by faith, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And as you pray, do good, walk in love, there's healing from those other things. There's a healing. Why is that? I like the scripture here that talks kind of about bitterness. It says, looking carefully, lest any of you fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. This is an issue of falling short of the grace of God, that generous, benevolent, charity case, handout giving that we are called to do too. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become undefiled. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure that no one lives with the root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. It's like we said, when you try to walk in the Spirit to not fulfill the flesh, if you try to not walk in the flesh, it's like the old alligator head game where all these different things come up, right? Hatred, lust, selfishness, anger, all those different kind of stuff, and you're trying to keep all the heads down. I got to walk in the Spirit. I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Same game works with bitterness. That thing that they did last week, or yesterday, or 20 years ago, or 6 months ago. It's amazing what the flavor of the day is when it comes to bitterness too. You can't win that game that way either. You're going to walk in love. You're going to forgive. And realize my forgiveness is forgiving even as I'm forgiving with an attitude of grace. I'm forgiving with the attitude of this is charity. This is a handout. This isn't deserved. I don't deserve what God's given to me, but I have a grateful appreciation of what he's given to me. And when I'm on the other end of it, I realize I am giving this away even as God gives to me. They don't owe me anything. They don't owe me. I'm giving this to them as a gift. If I'm giving it as wages, then they owe me. They better be nice to me tomorrow. But if I'm giving it away as a gift, they don't owe me. They don't owe me. Spiritually mature people have that attitude too. You don't owe me anything. I love you, but you don't owe me anything at all. I'm for you, but you don't owe me. There's an attitude of grace that works on both sides of this question. Now, when the attitude of grace works here, it keeps your heart humble to a place where you can keep showing mercy and you can keep forgiving because I'm doing it on the basis of handout. I'm doing it on the basis of gift. I'm doing it even as he does it for me. He doesn't do it to me in a way that's wages. I don't do it with people in a way that's wages. There's an attitude. There's an attitude of grace that I maintain. God's grace is a handout. We are charity cases. In one sense, you never lose that. You never lose that mentality, that spirit. I am confident in who I am. I know who I am in Christ. I know God loves me. I know God's for me. I'm a child of God. I have an inheritance in God. But I have to realize as well, too, that it is his gracious nature that's given me. What do you have that you have not received from God? Well, I received salvation from God, but I earned these other things. No, nothing. Nothing. Apostle Paul once said, boy, if people think they could boast, I could boast more. Tell me about your resume. Compare resumes. He said, look, I want to be found in him, having just a righteousness that's by grace through faith. I just want that. He maintained this appreciation. He maintained that attitude of grace toward the things that God was giving him. And when you have that, you maintain that attitude. Man, that's going to be all the difference in the giving and the receiving from God and the giving of grace the way God forgives. How do you do that? Boy, this is where you worship God. This is where you glorify his name. This is where you keep an attitude, Lord, you love me, you're for me. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Have strong faith. Believe God. But make sure your heart attitude is not an angry, demanding attitude, but a gracious, appreciative attitude. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Let God know what's going on with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ. Remember, it's grace from beginning to end. We receive by grace through faith. There's always this attitude of appreciation for every good thing that God gives us. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that as we just come into your presence, we just come into your presence now in prayer, we come boldly before that throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I just pray, Lord, for the heart attitude adjustments you've called me to do. I just pray, Lord, that people would just catch this. If you got this going on good and you got that right, praise God. If you need some heart attitude adjustments, then just listen to what the Spirit of God is saying in this. You know, this is just a word. It doesn't really change theology. It doesn't even change how you're asking for God or different things. It's just the heart attitude. Lord, what do I have that I have not received from you? What do I have that you haven't freely given to me? Nothing. Everything is your generous grace, your generous gift. And my heart is open. My heart is grateful. As I come before you and I need something from you, Lord, I come before you by faith in your word. But I come before you by faith in your word with a heart attitude of grace, realizing that it's not the strength of my faith, but I'm just simply receiving by faith what your grace has provided. That there's no work pressure I put on my faith, but I take work pressure off my faith and I simply obey. Is that called upon your name? I just simply do whatever else you tell me to do with a heart of gratitude, knowing that you're faithful, asking anything according to your word that I have, those petitions that I've desired, because you're faithful. You're a God of grace. You're a God of unmerited favor. You're the God of the handout who wants to give us, who wants to love us, who wants to do it not of wages, but of benevolence. Lord, help us to receive from your benevolent heart, to see as we're praying by faith, your benevolent heart reaching back toward us. And with childlike faith, to simply say, thank you. I receive it. I believe it. Oh, Father, help us to see your generous faith, face in our faith. Nothing's changed here. And as we show that mercy, as we show that grace, as we forgive, Lord, oh, that we see there's nothing anybody can do to us that wasn't satisfied in Christ. There's nothing anybody can do to us that the injustice of it wasn't already satisfied in Christ. And as you, Heavenly Father, found your satisfaction in Christ's sacrifice, we can find our satisfaction of justice in Christ's sacrifice and distribute freely that gift of forgiveness, the gift of kindness, the gift of prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you. You've shed your love abroad in our hearts so we can love like you love. I just pray, Father, for that revelation of grace, that attitude of grace, Father. We would catch that in our spirit and realize the humility in that sustains us, empowers us, gives us the standing grace that we need, Father, to receive and to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's kind of a nuance of the faith message that isn't always brought out, but I'm telling you what, it's a part. It's a heart check that makes all the other cool, glorious, in Christ, in faith, Word of God work. This is where I've been held back. This is where I've spun my wheels. But when I realize, man, Lord, it's your grace. Praise God. Takes the pressure. Takes the victim complex out of my forgiving. Takes the striving out of my faith. Maintaining that attitude of grace. Amen. Praise God.